Picante. All right, everybody, we are back.
They got a little bit of that.
The little Shante?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. Listen, everybody, this is the start of our second hour. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. If you are just joining us, let me quickly reintroduce everybody here in the studio. Across the table from me, doodling on a pad of paper is my little girl, Hannah Claire.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Uh-huh. To her right is my blushing bride, Stephanie.
Hey.
How are you, my dear?
Good.
Everything good to go?
Yes. All right. We're up and running.
Good. To her right is my boy, Tygen. Hey. And my name is Mark, and I will be your host for the rest of the evening, I guess, unless somebody else wants to do it.
No, you're good.
Okay. You got it, dude.
Yeah.
So before the break, I said that, let's just remind everybody that you can call us.
Yes.
I mean, we can accept phone calls. It's kind of ridiculous that you don't reach out to us. It's saddening. It hurts my feelings. Really.
Reach out and touch someone.
Touch
someone.
Yeah.
Or space.
Uh-huh. Whatever.
You're going to tell them the phone number again?
Yeah, well, the phone number is...
No, just call.
Yeah, just call. Just call any number. We might answer.
Whatever.
The phone number is 727-498-0502. Please give us a call, or you can tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1, and we will respond to you directly. Now, before I get into the whole Starbucks story, I want to quickly say that is a sad day on Tuesday when Barbara Bush passed away. She was 92 years old.
92.
Married to George Bush Sr., who was 93.
Wow.
They were married for 73 years, honey.
I know. That's amazing.
Years. She was considered America's grandmother.
Yes.
And she looked like America's grandmother since she was 30.
Yes.
She looked like George Washington.
She looked like George Washington. No, she was a very nice lady. Now, some people said some terrible things about her. I don't even want to go into that because it's not that time or place to do that, but
it is unfortunate that's where our country has gone,
right.
Let me bash this person who just passed it. God forbid we focus on the positive of what someone's life was.
Well, this one professor from Fresno who is apparently she's American, but she's also part, like, Iraqi or something like that. She had all kinds of terrible things to say and basically said that because you can't touch me, it's freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want. I make a lot of money, and I'm tenured. But guess what? Fresno State University is sort of distancing themselves from her.
I think they should make her attend some etiquette classes and some... sensitivity training.
And then this other jerk, former
anger
Trump
management
advisor, Roger Stone, calls Barbara Bush a nasty drunk, vindictive.
Well, who's vindictive?
Right. I don't know.
You know, whatever. I find it appalling.
I do too. Anyway, let's get to the whole Starbucks story. Hannah Claire.
Speaking of appalling,
and this is appalling, actually. Do you still go to Starbucks?
No, not really.
I mean, I don't know how you can afford it.
No, yeah, exactly. There's one right across from my work, but I don't usually ever go. Mm-hmm. Usually, if somebody else is going, I might throw them some money to get me something.
Well, let me ask you this: you work retail,
yeah.
All right? How long can a person spend in your store without buying anything before you ask them to leave or call the police?
Well, it's really hard in
Is there a policy?
I mean, it's really hard in our case because Hungry Howie's is right next door. And a lot of people who go order a pizza, if they walk in and
browsing.
They tell them it's going to be 20 minutes, they'll come over to Asylum just to check it out for 20 minutes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it is annoying. And, you know, I would like to say something, but, you know, it's... Most of the time, it's best not to say something.
But
you know, they're not really harming anybody.
See, that's actually
you know?
A good business model. If Big John or whoever is, you know, in charge over there at the asylum has said something to the people at Hungry Howie's and said, look, while they're waiting for their pizza, make sure you mention that they should come over and check our stuff out.
Hey, come check it out. Right. Know?
That's great.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to find in there. Right. There are so many cool things.
Okay. Now, I think I have only physically been in a Starbucks once in my life. And it looked like a pretty comfortable place to hang out. It looks to me that they have kind of set it up where people can come in and sort of spend the day.
They can use the Wi-Fi.
They can, read a book if they want. They've got some, comfy couches. They've got Wi-Fi sections or
like almost like workstations.
Workstations, that kind of thing. I think that their business model says that, let's invite people to come into Starbucks. Hopefully, they'll buy the first $8 cup of muddy water, and then they'll stick around for a while. Maybe they'll buy a muffin, and maybe they'll do another $8 cup of coffee.
That or kind a of bottle thing. Of water.
Or a bottle of water, whatever. But, we're not kicking anybody out.
Right.
Okay. So earlier this week in Philadelphia, two African-American men went into a Starbucks. Okay, they walked in. Each one had their own bottle of water. They did not buy it from Starbucks. They go in, they sit down, all right? One of the gentlemen decides that, after they've been there for a few minutes, I got to use the bathroom. Well, they told him, you can't use the bathroom unless you're buying something. Well, he was like, okay, I get that, whatever, no big deal. Goes back and sits down. A few minutes after that, somebody comes up and says, can I help you? Are you going to order anything? Well, Starbucks, nobody comes to your table.
Yeah. They don't have
to take
waitresses.
Your order. Right. You go to the counter to order.
Right.
All right. Anyway.
So already rude.
So already they're like profiling. Yeah. Right. Two black gentlemen in a Starbucks already have been approached, already denied bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Already now been approached because they're not buying anything. They're sitting there. They say to this person, we're not going to order. We're just waiting for somebody. We're going to have a business meeting. Okay? Isn't that what Starbucks is set up for?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You got all those young hipsters in there writing their screenplays.
Well,
and all that.
The manager got her undies in a bunch, and when they refused to buy anything, she called the police. And said, look, these two are not buying anything, and they refused to leave. So the Philadelphia police came and arrested them.
No, that's ridiculous.
Arrested them.
For what?
Right.
Right.
And it was all peaceful. There was no pushing tables around. There was no scuffle. There was nothing. These kids were like, are you kidding me? We're waiting to meet a realtor. Yeah. These two kids are entrepreneurs. Okay, they are in business together. They were meeting somebody to a real estate agent to get like office space.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
And let me tell you, being a former realtor, the first thing you do when you arrive at a meeting like that is offer to buy them their coffee.
Yes,
they're making you money.
Right. Now, I don't know what the conversations were, but clearly, this is racial profiling.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly.
I mean, I put myself in, say, like the realtor's
because I think,
shoes.
I think at the same time, there were other people in there sitting down, reading the paper or on their computer.
Right. Writing their screenplay, with their reusable, possibly Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
As a business person, you choose a place like Starbucks to meet because it is well-equipped and comfortable, and you can meet your clients there.
It's not a place that I would ever meet anybody because I don't like coffee. But, I mean,
But they have other things.
A lot of people, Starbucks has made themselves a comfortable destination for that type of meeting.
Exactly. And with the Wi-Fi, they can, go over the potential spaces, before they go out to look, whatever. I mean, that's part of Starbucks, my understanding, is that's part of their business plan.
So yeah. To me, this is clearly a case of racial profiling.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, somebody, the manager decides that, well, they're not doing what I told them to do. We're going to call the police. The Philadelphia police did come and they arrested the two without incident. No scuffle, no nothing. They took the two away.
Right.
And ever since then, I mean, there's been this whole uproar.
Yes.
To the point where.
Well, there should be.
Starbucks CEO has said that, listen, this is a huge problem. Fired the manager for making a much bigger deal out of nothing.
Nothing.
Originally, the police chief in Philadelphia said that his police officers did everything that they were supposed to do, and they probably did. I mean, anytime you're called to a situation where somebody says they're not leaving, well, the police are supposed to remove people.
Right.
So I'm not blaming the police. But I think there needs to be.
I think that the police should have had
a
conversation.
Apology.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, why? Because
hey,
they
man, you know why are
why
you
did
know?
They have to arrest them?
Right.
They didn't have any problem putting the handcuffs on them. They didn't have any problem leading them out. They weren't fighting anything like that. If the police had come in and said, "Hey, listen, here's the deal. This is what the rule is here." If you're not buying anything, you got to go.
Right. And if
but
they,
that doesn't really seem to be the rule.
That doesn't
at
seem
Starbucks.
To be the rule.
Doesn't seem to be the whole business layout of
and,
Starbucks.
And if they had responded, "Well, we are meeting our real estate agent. They're yeah. going to be here at 2:30."
What if they had said, "Look, yeah, we're going to get something, but we don't want to order until they get here."
Right.
You know, I don't know what the conversations
you know,
were, but the whole thing is...
It sounds to me like there wasn't a whole lot of reasonable conversation.
Right.
There was just a whole lot of action based on one person's issue.
Well,
is the way I see it.
The CEO of Starbucks has come out and basically said that on the 29th of this month, they're going to close down all like 8,000 stores in the United States that employ like 175,000 employees, and they're going to do some sort of training. What do you call that training?
Sensitivity training.
That's kind 29th? Of thing. I don't know who's giving the training to 175,000 employees, but you know.
I don't know. It seems to me, I mean, I get, you know, there's logistics or whatever they're doing. But it seems to me like immediately, the next day, there should have been a notice sent out to every one of those managers of every one of those stores. Look, you need to set every one of your employees, have them stay an hour after their shift if they can.
Right.
Whatever, you know they have training videos.
Yeah.
You know, they have new employee orientation. You need to review this with your people right now. Immediately.
I think Jamie still works for Starbucks. I can ask her about it.
I think it's a shame. Yeah, that'd be
well,
good.
Well, it's a shame that a company has to do that.
Well, it's a shame
that people aren't taught that as part of their own lives.
It's a shame that Black Americans are still experiencing that kind of discrimination. I mean, to me, it's very sad. Well, it's 2018,
right?
You know,
we're moving backwards.
Absolutely, moving backwards, and we're not making any progress at all.
No,
I mean,
no, it doesn't seem to be
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know, you know. Definitely, you got to get rid of that manager.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first off, gone. Period.
How did they get to be a manager in a customer service situation in the first place?
And Starbucks strives to be, you know, so...
customer friendly.
Yeah, I mean, to all races. Weren't they like writing not racist things, but things on people's cups and they encourage their people to talk to everybody. You know, it's like if there's a lull in the action, it's like, so how's your day going to be? I mean, they talk to everybody. It's like they encourage their employees to
engage customers,
everybody,
and how do you like this? Of race. You know, right. Yeah. Some people just don't get it.
No, people.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do.
Well, this was a female manager, and I can only guess that she's an Eagles fan. Because they are jerks.
I bet she's fat.
Probably.
Yeah.
Fat Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Well, I know Starbucks has gotten a lot of backlash. And, you know, that, but it's hard for a company to be responsible for one person's behavior.
Well, I also heard somebody saying who goes to Starbucks every day, it's like, okay, so you're going to close all of Starbucks on the 29th. Well, why are you punishing me for the bad actions of this one manager?
Right.
I'm a loyal customer to Starbucks. You know, yeah, and I buy at least one $8 cup of coffee every day.
Well, and that's
and
what,
now all of a sudden, where am I going to go now?
Right, yeah. And that's what I was saying, that it needed to be swifter. Yeah. I mean, the 29th is still 9 days away.
Right,
it should have been immediate retraining. You know, not close the store.
I don't even know that there really needed to be any retraining.
I
think you just, there was one bad element that had to go.
Well, and in a corporation that size, I can guarantee you there's more than one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So a little refresher course for everybody.
Right.
Be nice to everybody.
Mm. Might not hurt.
Might not hurt.
Right.
That's all.
Get you. All right, so
I get you, sister.
The next big story. This blew my mind when I was talking about this before the show, that Hannah hadn't even heard about this. Ty, did you hear about it?
What?
This is the Southwest plane.
No.
Neither one of the kids. How do you go?
Do we live on the same planet?
How do you go through life and not hear this story?
Dude, I don't watch the news. It's all lies.
Yeah, not, well, this wasn't a lie.
Bad news.
This wasn't a lie. Yeah. This actually happened. This woman got on a Southwest Airlines flight. What was it? Tuesday morning or something like that. Got on a flight in New York City in LaGuardia Airport.
Yes.
Okay. She's going to Dallas. All right. This is a 43-year-old woman, mother of two. Okay. She is a bank executive for like Wells Fargo. She lives in Albuquerque, all right? So she's like a traveling sort of counselor kind of thing. She goes around to Wells Fargo's banks and stuff like that. So she's leaving New York, going to Dallas. She gets on this flight 1380, Ty.
1380. Movie coming soon.
Right.
20 minutes into the flight, they're at 32,000 feet. Okay, that's getting close to cruising altitude, all right? She's sitting very close to the wing. She's not exactly on the wing. She's just behind the wing.
Just behind it.
Window seat, all right? The engine on that wing explodes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Explodes.
Boom.
Shrapnel breaks the window that she's sitting next to and sucks her halfway out. Sucks her halfway out.
What company was this again?
Southwest Airlines. Yeah, but they have a very good record.
I was going to say, if it was United, I mean, they are just...
Or Allegiant.
They are just...
If it was Allegiant, you just need to pack it up.
Right.
But anyway, okay, so other passengers were able to grab her and pull her back in.
Didn't she have her seatbelt on?
Well, that's what I talked to Mom about. Look, when I get on an airplane, I don't care if the light is on that says, take your seatbelt off. I leave mine on the whole time.
That thing is on.
Yeah, once I put it on, it's on. You know, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless I get it, you know, got to get up and pee, I'm not taking it off.
I'll hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Why would you even risk getting up.
Right. Well, unless it's like a mile high situation.
No.
But
I'm staying buckled.
Right. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, here this woman, you know, she gets up just like every other day. She's on a business trip. She's probably, you know, she's probably got to go to Dallas and then, you know, one last stop and then she heads home for the weekend or whatever, you know, to see her family. Gets sucked out of a plane window.
Yeah.
Final destination.
Can you imagine? She died of blunt force trauma to basically everything from the waist up.
I mean, it seems like it would just, like, suck your guts out.
Yeah.
Well, here's just the thing, like, Hannah. This is what's scary. Because this guy, I was listening to this one show, who was a former pilot. And he sort of explained why the suction is so strong is that, you know, big jets like that are pressurized.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're in them, you don't realize what the pressure is. But if they don't pressurize those planes, once they get it to a certain altitude, they'll just collapse like a beer can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's
a ton of pressure. And when that window breaks, all that pressure is being released. Okay? So, and they're small windows.
Yeah.
Hannah Claire, your little ass would be gone.
Yeah.
We'd never see you again.
You Jesus.
We'd have nothing to bury.
No.
You know, this woman at least was big enough. She got halfway out. This pilot who called into the show said, here's the thing. You're at 32,000 feet. You're flying at 500 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the temperature outside is 70 below zero.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've just been sucked out
at
500 miles an hour.
Right.
So I'm not thinking that any debris came through the window and hit her. I'm thinking that all the blunt force trauma came as she was being sucked out.
And the pressure of her being stuck.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, pulled her back in.
Pretty amazing story and frightening.
So where'd they land?
Yeah, what happened after they pulled her back in?
They had to re-divert and they flew because they took off from New York. This happened 20 minutes in. So they're nowhere close to Dallas. So they redirected and landed in Philadelphia. Yep.
Philly, huh?
Yep. Yeah. Took them 20 minutes to land.
They let everybody on the plane go to Starbucks except for the black people.
No, stop.
Just kidding. That's
terrible. Well, what amazed me with that were the people that they interviewed after the fact.
Right.
The people that they were actually interviewing in Dallas.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So they landed the plane in Philly.
And then you still got to get on another plane.
Get off the plane, get on the next plane, and fly on to Dallas where you're, you know, converged by reporters.
What are you thinking? Lightning strikes once, it's not going to happen again. And really, for the most part,
it was a freak accident.
Flying is really one of the safest modes of transportation.
Yeah.
A ton of people every day are killed in car crashes.
Right.
Every day.
Every day.
I mean, it's there hasn't been a death due to any sort of mechanical or plane crash in America since 2009.
Yeah.
You know,
till now.
For 9 years, nothing has happened, so it's pretty safe.
And the rest of the people on the plane,
right?
That's not usually how fate works or how the luck works,
right?
If you're on a plane with 150 people, and somebody's number is up, usually you're all going
everybody's
down.
Everybody's number's up, right?
You know. So that's what's so bizarre about this whole incident.
What you're saying is if you're on that plane and one person gets sucked out the window and killed, then you're like, well, it must have been their number was... the rest of us are good.
You know, how in the world was it not our time either?
Yeah.
I don't think I would be able to get on that next flight that quickly.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. She had two young kids.
Yes.
43 years old. When you're one of the kids who lost your mother, okay, do you want to say, do you want the story of your mother to say, oh, yeah, well, she got cancer and it was a horrific death, da da da. Or do you want to go, she was sucked out of a plane window yes. at 32,000 feet? How fucking badass was that?
Yeah. Big ass saved everybody's life.
Top that story, 420.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah, well, they've right. got it. They definitely have. They have a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, I'm so sorry about your mother. What happened? She got sucked out a plane window.
Even like the husband, he's like, you know, in a year or two, he'll probably maybe get back into the dating game. He was hanging out at the local, I don't know, wherever to meet people. He's mingling.
And, the grief counseling group. Like, well, oh, yeah. So how did your loved one pass away?
I'm a
got
widow.
Got sucked out a plane window.
Oh, how sad is that? You're a widow. What happened to your wife? She got sucked out a plane window at 32,000 feet. Oh, my God. That's the best story ever.
Right. I mean, talk about a way to go.
Yeah.
I'm still not flying anytime soon.
No, I'm not flying anytime soon. You know, they just they had the story, and we missed it last Sunday on 60 Minutes about my favorite airline, Allegiant.
Right.
Dad saw it, and he said he will never fly Allegiant. Now, I've always said that, but we've actually flown Allegiant twice. No incident.
Right.
Nothing.
Well,
not even
four
a little
times
bit.
Because we four actually yeah, went right. there and there got back.
Nothing. Not even an incident. Not even anything close. Nothing suspect.
No.
I mean, four of the best airplane rides I've ever had were on Allegiant.
Right.
Smoothest takeoff, smoothest landing, but they got a bad rep.
Yeah.
They got some really old planes, and from what I understand, they just bought some new, really old planes.
Right. You know? Some new used planes. Right.
New to you.
New right. to you.
Anyway, so.
But, you know, how bizarre. You know, you just never know.
No,
when
you
it's
don't.
When it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for absolutely sure. Hey, we all love burgers, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys heard this story or not. But in North Carolina, they got this thing, and they do it. They've been doing it for 3 years. And what they try to do, it's like a restaurant, but they try to introduce sort of exotic sort of meats to people like once a year. And like I said, they've been doing it for 3 years. But this year, what they did is they introduced a burger topped with, what do you think?
I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I know what it is.
I don't know.
Like think python? Of something really
no,
gross.
Not python. Worse.
Worse.
or just as scary.
Furrier.
Ew, tarantulas?
Tarantula.
Yes.
A tarantula.
Like a whole tarantula?
A whole tarantula on this burger. You had to call in. Gross. You had to call into this place. Apparently, they have like a tarantula farm where they keep these tarantulas. And then once a year, they will kill them off for this like burger eating challenge.
Nice.
Gross.
And you basically have to call into this place like a month in advance and reserve your tarantula burger. It's $30 and it comes with like a side of fries. But no shit, there is a tarantula cooked on the top of this burger. Here's a picture of it right here. It's just the most disgusting thing. If you eat the burger, now here's where you win big, Hannah.
Oh, the shirt's cool.
If you eat the burger, but yeah. I'm sure the Rolling Stones are going to sue them because they stole their logo and just put a tarantula in the mouth of the Rolling Stone lips. So if you eat the burger, you get a free T-shirt.
That's it.
That's not enough. No, that's not enough.
I mean, how gross is that? Can you imagine?
No.
Did I tell you?
No, that's just.
Have I ever told you the story about my friend Jay Wiles?
Yes. I love that story.
I was at his house. I would tell the listeners, all three of them. I was at his house one day. My friend Jay Wiles, we're in high school. And we go to his house. I think it's a Friday night. And he's going to get changed up. And then he's going to take me to my house so I can get changed up. We're going to go out for the evening. Well, he has a tarantula. Okay. So I'm like, and he shows it to me, you know, in its little terrarium. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Just don't take it out.
Whatever.
Yeah, don't take it out, you know. So he's getting ready.
Freak.
Yeah, and I'm sitting on the edge of his bed, and him and the tarantula in its terrarium are behind me. I'm looking at, I think, a Mad magazine. Okay? All of a sudden, I feel something on my shoulder. All right? I jump up. I swat my shoulder. It was a tarantula. I swat it to the floor and kill it.
Yes.
It was killed. They're very fragile. It, like two or three of its legs fell off. It was like glass or something like that. He freaked out. I can't believe he killed my tarantula. And I was like, Jay, I told you.
Don't put it on me.
Don't take it out of the terrarium. Don't put it on me. Anyway, that's my tarantula
story. Yeah. Well, you know, that was Jay, though.
I mean, that was Jay Wiles.
Yeah, I know.
Not even the other. Are all Jays jerks?
Yeah, a little bit. I think they've got a bend to them. Yeah, here. Mark doesn't like this. I know. I'll put it on him.
Let's mess him up with this tarantula. Yeah. Right.
Now, but, you know, I think part of that you bring on yourself.
What do you mean?
Just saying.
Oh, because anytime you give somebody a warning like that, then that means that they have to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, at least
you know,
try.
You're kind of a dick.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm
what
sure.
I mean, it seems like the kind of thing you would do.
Yes. Yes, it does. That's my point.
I probably would. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like yesterday. I was in the copy room at work, and I was getting a cookie out of this container. And Lori snuck up behind me and yelled and scared me. And I was like, God damn it. It always makes me so mad when somebody scares me. But I love scaring people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I, yeah.
We know.
But unfortunately, in this situation, I killed this guy's spider.
Yeah, well.
I thought you were going to say, unfortunately, in this situation, I killed Lori.
No! Karate chop.
Jesus. I know, and I didn't kill her, but I kicked her so hard in the knee that she will probably be taking Monday and probably Tuesday off.
Right in the shins.
Yeah, right.
I'd be careful. She will kick you back.
Yeah, she's
she is not going to take any of your shit.
She's thick-wristed, so, you know.
Thick-wristed.
Well, you need to be on guard. She will get you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's been a long time since we've had a Python report.
Yes, it has. Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting story. So what they've done now, all right, so they've sent rednecks out into the Everglades hunting these pythons, right? And they've done pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they've come back with, you know, however many pounds of pythons they could find. What are they awarded like $8 a day or something like that to go out in the Everglades and hunt pythons.
Woo! Yeah, but then they get paid by the pound. Yeah. So
anyway, these biologists now, what they've done is they've taken a python and they've equipped it with some sort of like a tracking device, okay? And they've nicknamed this one male, it's a male python, and his name is Argo. All right. So what they're doing with this, and it's very ingenious, because they are sending this male python with its tracking device out into the Everglades. And what it does, because apparently female pythons are very slutty. Okay. So what happens is Argo, you know, slithers through the swamp and stuff like that, and comes up on a group of male pythons. And what that means is, whenever you get like a group of males together, because apparently they're usually like, you know, lone wolves.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a group, that means there's a female. And they all gang rape the female.
Oh, nice.
Right. Anyway, so that's what they're doing with these equipped pythons. They're sending them out to find the female that's like in heat, I guess. All right. In this case, they found one, 115-pound female python that had 60 eggs. Okay. Mm. So they find Argo. They spare his life. They kill all the rest of them. Right. And they said that all 60 of those eggs would have hatched. They don't know for sure how many of them would have survived, but out of 60, probably most of them.
Yeah.
Or at least half.
Yeah.
I mean, still, that's 30.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, to me, a very ingenious way to try to get a handle on
where are they,
on how they're, you know, multiplying,
right?
You know,
well, why didn't, instead of killing all of the males that they found,
why didn't they put more?
Why didn't they chip all of those and send those back out?
I think because they have bad attitudes.
Oh.
I think they gave them an opportunity to sign up for the program.
And they said no.
No, we're not doing that.
No, we're not turning in the hose. Bros before hose.
Mm-hmm. We're here to get it on with what's her name over here. Don't want no chip, man. We don't need no stinking chips.
No stinking chips, man.
No badges.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Mm-hmm.
The headline on the story says, Python with tracking device reveals snake sex parties.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. Snake sex parties in the Everglades.
Nice.
So, do they follow him with a drone that has, like, a machine gun?
I don't know. Can you imagine walking up? Okay.
Okay, now you
know. You found your snake, and now you're surrounded by six other males that are all 15 feet long, and then this gargantuan female that's also 15 feet long.
Hey, baby.
Right.
Drones with machine guns.
Yeah. I don't know why they just don't, you know, walk through the jungle down there with, or Everglades down there with, you know, flamethrowers.
Because that would scare them all out.
Anything that moved, barbecue. Barbecue.
Yeah, so the pythons are breeding rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I got another story. Remember, we've been talking about this big trash, island in the ocean that's, like, from California to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's not the only place in the ocean that's happening. Just so happens that one place is very big. But these scientists have now discovered, by accident, an enzyme that when they put it in the water, you don't have to wait years for plastic to break up. This enzyme is now eating plastic in like a third of the time.
It's like acid.
I mean, that doesn't sound safe either.
Well,
right.
It's making the fish and stuff like that mutants.
Yeah.
A lot of two-eyed fish are now three- and four-eyed fish, and some fish have legs and stuff like that.
But and what happens when they run out of plastic? Are they going to start eating boats and fiberglass?
I don't know.
It's an idea.
You got to do something.
But I don't know that they should actually put that enzyme in that water.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, you know? Do we want to play Stump the Chump?
We can.
Let's do that.
Okay.
All right. Look, we're going to play Stump the Chump.
Take
do
a
we
break.
Have, do we have a theme?
We do.
All right. What would it be?
Well, Hannah might win this Stump the Chump.
Uh-oh.
It's a 420 themed.
Oh, good, because our next song is Stump 420 themed. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you live every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We haven't gotten any calls yet. 727-498-0502. We haven't even gotten any tweets. Marco Radio Show 1. Do it. Let's see. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to play our 420 themed version of Stump the Chump. We'll be right back.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Yeah. It all worked fine, but first take care of head.
Smoke Two Joints by Sublime.
Yeah.
We are back on this 420 Friday beautiful evening here sunny Florida.
Beautiful sunset going on right now.
I imagine.
We've got a lot of competition.
We have had some gorgeous weather lately. It has not gotten to the absolute appalling humidity yet. We're close. We're very close. But the temperatures have risen low to mid-80s.
Yes.
Yes.
But so far...
Feeling it.
So far, the humidity has not sapped us of our energy. Anyway, so we're back. And before the break, we said we were going to play Stump the Chump.
Yes.
And this is going to be our 420... in celebration of 420 today, this is going to be our 420 version of Stump the Chump. Does everybody have their bell, their ringer, their hooter?
Woo!
Let's do it.
Everybody's ready.
Yes.
What percentage of Americans identify as marijuana users? Mark.
39%.
No. Hmm. Hannah.
60.
No. Time?
I'm going to say 80.
No. That's where I was. I'll give you the choices.
Okay.
Is it 7%?
Oh.
13%, 17%, or 23%? Hannah?
23.
No.
7%.
No.
Damn it.
13.
All right.
So.
Look at Ty.
Only a few people out there telling the truth.
Only a real pothead would know that one.
Yeah, right? Under the radar, dude.
Way to go, Smokey.
When
it's
been
like 10 years.
Yeah.
Shaggy.
When it
Scooby.
Was, when it was first used...
Marley.
Can I ask the question?
Yeah.
When it was first used therapeutically in the West... In the 19th century.
You mean California?
No,
like Western like medicine.
Us.
Oh, Western medicine.
Marijuana was used to treat what? Hannah, do you want
glaucoma.
The choices?
No, scoliosis.
No.
How would that even work? Come on.
Ty?
Polio.
No, I'll give you the choices.
I think it might cause scoliosis.
Yeah.
You ever seen that Grateful Dead trucking? Picture the guys all bent backwards.
Right. All loosey-goosey.
See, that could be a side effect that we're not being told about.
That we don't know about,
right.
Exactly.
Marijuana causes scoliosis.
All right, your choices are inflammation in the joints, gout, hysteria in women.
That's it.
That
gastrointestinal issues.
It's the hysteria.
Bitches be crazy.
Or bad vibes.
Do you notice how
bad
often...
Bad vibes,
I mean,
man.
Hannah is never hysterical.
No. Occasionally.
When I don't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, then she loses it. It is not hysteria in women, although it does seem to be effective. Anybody else want to make a choice?
Oh.
Bad
this
vibes.
Is like real Western medicine.
Oh.
The vibes. Joint pressure.
Yes, inflammation in the joints. So, Hannah.
Caused by the scoliosis.
Inflame, we'll be inflaming some joints.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Hold on, Anna. Hold on. Inflaming some joints.
All right, we gotta move along here. Yeah, we got like 10 minutes left of this show. True or false? Does marijuana smoke contain carcinogens like tobacco smoke?
Yes, Anna. It does.
Yes, it does.
It does.
So it's not all hippy dippy and safe.
No,
and,
it's not. Still gonna put gunk in your lungs.
Gunk in your lungs. Hannah has two. Ty has one. You know what? I'm gonna skip that
any.
One. That no, you don't have any. Why would you think you had any?
You're stuck.
How does the DEA classify marijuana?
It's a federal drug.
Oh, right, what schedule?
Class A. Schedule one.
Schedule one. I'm going to give that one to Ty.
Damn it.
So Ty has two, Hannah has two. In 200 AD, how did Chinese surgeon Hu Tao use marijuana? Did he chew hemp seeds before operating to help his mind come into focus?
Yes.
Did he grind it into a powder, mix it with wine, and give it to patients as a pre-surgery anesthetic?
Maybe.
That one.
Ground
that
his could nurse be maybe. Into a powder.
Did he... Jeez. He dried the leaves and administered them to patients who would then smoke them to relieve pain.
That's how you do it. It's that.
It is not that one.
What was his name again?
Why?
What was his name?
Why?
Feng Shui.
I did my best. How to?
How to? Let me see.
How to grind your nurse into a powder.
Don't show him. He's looking at the answers. Oh, now you show
him. H-A-U.
Like his name's going to make a difference.
T-U-O.
It's not his name. It's his technique.
What was his technique? And he was not having his patients smoke it for pain. So you're down to the two other choices. What is it?
Was he a doctor kind of like Dre?
I think it's the wine thing.
Yes, it is the wine thing.
Well, he was part of Wu-Tang. He ain't nothing to fuck with.
Hey, watch your language.
Hey,
it's
right.
It's Wu-Tang.
Oh,
everybody knows that.
Hannah has three.
That's just the
truth. Hannah has three.
Yes, I do.
Ty has two.
About to get four.
Mark is
20.
Not.
I should get a 20 this time if I get four. Just because it's 420. Come on.
No.
We're not playing for a 20.
No, we are. This game, I think we should. For 420, we're playing for a 20.
Okay.
Good, all right.
I'd give you one if I had one.
All right. Well. What percentage of California adults who said they use medical marijuana said that marijuana helped them with a serious medical condition?
All of them.
157%.
Yeah.
Is it 80%, 90%, or 100%?
100.
No.
80.
No.
90.
90. So Ty goes up three.
Jeez Louise. Hold on.
And we are so quickly running out of time. A 2015 study on mice discovered a psychological explanation for this common reaction to using cannabis.
Paranoia.
No. Is it cotton?
The munchies, brah.
It's the munchies.
It is the munchies.
Ty wins. Ty takes it out from under Hannah with the 420 trivia. And
420.
For you.
And we now have 4 minutes to wrap
God.
Up.
4 minutes.
I was going to talk about pets quick. Hannah Claire.
What?
Just
what?
Look, I know what? They told you that dude was part.
They thought he might be part
hound dog or something like that.
Great Dane and, hound dog.
Anyway, if you ever really want to know what he is, Amazon, the seller of everything,
yes,
now offers a doggy DNA test.
Yeah, $70.
So you can go and check it out.
So if anybody wants to donate it to us.
No.
Yeah.
because I would love to know what dude really is. It is his birthday today. Yes.
He's a big black dog.
Shout out to Dude.
He's a big black dog. Don't take him to Starbucks.
So Monday's supposed to be the rapture. This could be it for all of us.
Right.
Oh, really? We might just up have in the sky again?
A few hours left.
Numerologists say the end of the world is going to be Monday.
Monday.
So smoke them if you got them. Well, could be I'll the last sure. 420 ever.
Right. Hey, let me go through these quotes that I like to give you at the end of every show. The first one says, "Finally figured out why I look so bad in pictures. It's my face."
Maybe if you opened your damn eyes.
In the end, we'll all become stories.
Yes.
That came from, it came from Margaret Atwood. The next one says, "All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change."
Change.
Change.
Octavia Butler. "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending."
Yes.
C.S. Lewis.
That's very profound. Change the ending.
"Morning comes whether you set the alarm or not." Ursula K. Le Guin.
Boom. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. How much time?
Well, we got to wrap it up.
One, shut up.
What is it? I mean, do I...
Say goodbye. Yeah,
two.
Oh, two? All right, everybody. Listen, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We missed last week, and it killed me.
Yes,
it was very nice to be back with you this week, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week. Hannah Claire, at the end of the show, do you have anything you want to add?
Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday, dude. Stephanie. Hitler.
Happy 420.
Happy 420. Ty.
28th Brass Mug Deceptive Intruder.
All right. I don't have anything other than Semper Fi Devil Dogs. Semper Fi Frank Rivera.
Yes.
And I miss your mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
Balls to the wall or not at all.
All right, everybody. Like I say, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening.
Evening.
From 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We will speak to you again next week. I promise. This is a little song about Donald Trump.
Boom.
Donald Trump makes me wanna smoke crack. Go to Canada and